all the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth, truth.
Well, that's quite an introduction for PK O'Neill. Craig, having that guy say all politicians are dirty. My goodness.
Yeah, you can blame Jerry Evans for the production on that one.
Okay. Folks, I'm John Potter. This is All Life and Local. 775-884-9910. If you want to say something about what the Nevada legislature has done, we wanted to do this a couple of weeks ago when the Nevada legislature closed up shop, but a lot of this stuff is very important and very valid now, especially since the governor recently signed bills and vetoed them. So here he is. PK O'Neill at our Carson City studio, one of our fine Nevada legislators. Hey, PK, good morning.
Hey, John, I appreciate it. I got to say this, I showered today.
I'm sure Craig appreciates that.
So not all politicians are dirty.
Yeah, not all politicians are dirty.
Okay, listen, PK, listen, you have your list of things you want to talk about. I have my things I want to talk about what the Nevada legislature did. But first, we'd like to give you or have you give us a general wrap up of how the 2023 legislature, what they did, the highs, the lows. You have the floor, my friend, as they say in Carson City. So give us a rundown.
Well, let me try to do this quickly for you. We had a little over 1,200 bill drafts were requested. 560 in the assembly, and about 530 some on the Senate side. 535 of those were signed by the governor. And I've got to say, the governor vetoed 75 bills, which was a single legislative session record. And I commend him for that because both houses, assembly and Senate, were Democrat controlled. In the assembly, we were in the minority. We were at even one-third. They could override vetoes in the assembly. The Senate was saved by one vote there. So it was great to have the governor there, the governor looking at bills and being our backstop on bills that we could not stop. He was able to stop with the red pen. So with that, I mean, that's part of it. The governor had several bills that he introduced. And I'm going to harp on a little bit on the governor because his success as a Republican governor is so much of our success also as Republican legislators. He had several areas. He wanted to address the economy. He wanted to address public safety. He wanted to address education. And he was able to introduce five bills. Unfortunately, one bill of his, which was for election reform, never got a hearing, which to me...
Why not?
Well, you don't remember the first part. Both houses were Democrat controlled. And even in the past, when the legislature should always be respectful, whether the governor's Democrat, Republican, who's controlling the houses, they should be respectful. The governor's the governor is the governor. No matter what you want to think of the individual or of his party, they're still the governor of this state, elected by the majority of the population of this state. And not hearing a bill is really a insult to the governor. But
it's an insult to the voter ID bill dying, yeah. despite the fact that a poll of 800 registered voters that came out in February, Nevada Independent, showed 74% support requiring voters to show ID when trying to cast a ballot. Only 8%, PK, objected to it. 18% unsure. Why don't all of the lawmakers take legitimate surveys like that into consideration?
I can't answer that part for you when you say all the legislators. But what I can say is you're right. It became a strictly a party issue. Party lines, they held it. I do believe that you're going to see that voter ID requirement come back probably in the next few months, but it'll come back as a ballot initiative. And like you just said, the majority of voters, the majority of the population want a voter ID. And so it'll go to a ballot, it'll come before, and it'll end up being part of our state constitution eventually. That will get a voter ID out there. So it's just going to take longer, but I do believe you'll see it occur. It's unfortunate that politics came to play, and the Democrats wouldn't even give it the hearing. That, like I said, that's a flat insult. And I will tell you, if the Republicans come back in majority in either one of the houses, let alone both houses, I can promise you that will probably be remembered the way they treated the governor. So, but he did get some of his other bills heard, and a lot of the requirements passed. I mean, you got school safety, which were requiring the suspension and expulsions of students that are misbehaving in classrooms, to actually get expelled or can be suspended from school, where before they had to work on some kind of plan to have the various parties get together and talk this out. And the teachers were being distracted from doing their actual education, their work with the rest of the population, rest of the students in class. So, he got that. Counties and cities can now authorize a charter school, where before they had to go before the state to get that authorization. City and counties can actually develop their own charter schools. Financing, there was money put towards transportation for students to get to charter schools, which has always been a hindrance.
That is amazing that was accomplished, because the other side seems to do all it can to squash our charter schools, which have proven to be quite effective.
Absolutely right there. And that was a lot on school choice. They wouldn't even hear that. They just won't allow it. I don't know why the Democrats won't, because once again, they talk about how they want to move the needle. They want to improve education in Nevada. They want to do this, but yet parents.
The teachers' union is quite powerful in their persuasive teamwork with the Democrats.
You can use those two words interchangeably, powerful and persuasive. They go together. You know, and after attorneys, the largest number of legislators' real jobs are teachers. Which may or may not have some of that influence there, as you were just saying, in who they who's elected, and then how do they vote on the various bills that come forward. So, but the governor, once again, even with that, was still successful in getting some school choice done. He has accountability. He added $2 billion to the education system, to the schools themselves. Of course, the unions, as you said, they came forward and said, that's not enough. We need more. We always need more. And as I'll say, and as many of us always said, we have been putting money towards education for years, and it has not changed anything. Let's do it differently. This time, the governor added money. So he gave money to the schools, but he also added accountability. We can go in and actually audit the school districts and individual schools. So elementary school A can be compared to elementary school B. One may be succeeding in its missions of education, the other one not doing so well. Why are those two schools that are within the same district, within the same population of education, or those attending, why is one succeeding, the other one isn't? Let's look at that and then compare, and then change B to bring it up. There's the accountability that has been fought for years. So I really commend the governor and the legislature that we got that passed and pushed through.
My goodness, you are very complimentary of the governor.
Oh,
did you tell him to tune in this
morning? No, I think he's down in Vegas anyways. No, okay. But, you know, I've always said, if you remember when I was first on with you, right at the beginning of the 120-day torture, our legislative session, our success as Republicans are based upon the governor's success and what he can get done for the state as a whole. And so we go arm in arm. I mean, we truly are. We're of the same party. We're of the same mindset on so many things. And so his success is our success. Ours is his success. And we're going to continue that forward during the interim session. And come election time, we're going to try to get more Republicans elected. We've got to protect those veto proofs. We're going to try to get at least, we're shooting for a minimum of four more Republican legislators in the Assembly and a couple more in the Senate. But we've got to do that so we can support the governor, have those bills passed, and have his goals, which are our goals, reached and instituted for the state. Remember, I was only elected from a district. He was elected from the state as a whole. So that's why I give so much support to him.
Well, as long as you bring him up. And by the way, folks, our phone number, 775-884-9910. Tell us what you think about how the Nevada legislature did in 2023. As long as you're bringing up the governor so much, before I go on a break, I'm going to give you a heads up on what I really wanted to get into here. One of the topics, Governor Lombardo signed two transgender rights bills that our legislature passed. And it's really, when you look into what these bills are and what they permit, it's really quite shocking. So 775-884-9910, we got to take a break. P.K. O'Neill, one of the legislators, is joined us here in our in our Carson City studios. But we're going to take a break. Folks, call in if you have a question for P.K. We'll get into these transgender rights bills. And also, I got to bring up crime and what the lawmakers and how they're letting us down. Not you, P.K. That's coming up in a few minutes. So call now. FM News Talk time is 1118.
Live, local, FM talk, KKFT, for Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
Hi, folks. John Potter here in Carson City is our guest, P.K. O'Neill, one of the legislators, giving us a Nevada legislature wrap-up. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, Governor Lombardo signed two transgender rights bills that our legislature passed. One requires insurance companies and Medicaid cover all gender-affirming surgeries, so taxpayers will be paying for surgery for transgenders with Medicaid. Insurance companies will in turn raise their rates to cover their end. That's just how it goes. But what strikes me, PK, about this, all gender-affirming surgeries covered. When I say all, I assume all ages under 18 years old, also if they get parental consent. You have any comments on that, sir?
I'm glad we're not on TV right now because you'd see my head hanging low and a little dejected.
This is serious stuff.
It
here.
Is.
Gender-affirming care is described as including, quote, medical interventions like surgery to align their chest or genitalia with their gender identity when it conflicts with the gender they were assigned at birth.
And we questioned it. We had that bill. I voted against it. It was along strict party lines. All of us Republicans voted against it. And towards the end, it became a sausage factory, as very often legislation is. It was attached to some other bills that the governor wanted signed. He looked into that one specifically on that insurance, spoke with the insurance carriers. Most of them are currently doing it anyways. And it's with a medical necessity. So you have to get the doctor's approval. It goes
medical. I got to stop you there. It's cosmetic. We've gone from gender affirming surgeries classified as cosmetic to medically necessary. They had to call these surgeries medically necessary to get insurance companies and Medicare to cover them.
I can't speak specifically for the governor. So this is the understanding in my conversation with the governor's office is how I interpret and accepted his, even though I disagreed with it, I accepted what he did. And it's for, it's, how did it was worded for surgeries from the belly button down, not the belly up. And they were
all ages, folks.
It, the young under 18s had to be with parental, approval. So,
and there are some, they're sad to say, there are some parents who would be all gung ho about this.
Oh, John, I'm fumbling for the words to say you're I can say you're absolutely right. I didn't like the bill. As I said, when the bill came across as the bill is by itself, I voted against it. But then it was attached to some other bills that we had to get passed, and it became a sausage factory. As that old saying goes, two things you never want to see made are laws and sausage. And as I said, the governor put a statement out on the bill itself, saying that he spoke with insurance companies. They're already doing it. There's such a small percentage that it won't raise rates. It required parental supervision. The surgeries are medically necessary from the waist down, not waist up surgeries. And it was done. You're right. I don't like it, it is, and recently, I forget it was Alabama or Georgia, one of the southern states where a very similar bill was passed preventing this. It was struck down and said that it was unconstitutional to do those prohibitions. And that was another thing that I think was considered by the governor in what would it cost to defend this in court. And it still have a high probability of losing it and it becoming instituted that way.
Well, you know, for young people, teens, I would not be surprised if 10 or 20 years down the road, we have armies of lawyers out there gathering up clients who got a gender-affirmed surgery in their youth who are absolutely going to bankrupt any Nevada hospital or hospitals that host these surgeries. I mean, I can see this happening. It's surgeons will do it. I bet in 10 or 20 years, we're going to see personal injury lawyers calling about this. You get to be an adult, fine. God bless you. It's not anybody's business. But this odd conspiracy between doctors and parents that allows for this chemical or surgical mutilation, it doesn't matter which politician signs off on it. It's wrong, period, end of story. And I think it could come back to really hurt us.
And I agree with you. And I'll be polite in what I say, but you know, you look at one of the reasons everything costs so much, I say, why my firearms that I purchase have additional expenses on it, why my motorcycle is so expensive, is the litigious nature of our society here in the United States on suing. It's never, we have to start stepping up and taking responsibility for our own actions.
You know what, PK, I got to say, when you bring that up, this is why our prescription drugs are unaffordable, because we pass these laws to punish the law-abiding people who need these prescriptions to protect the addicts out there.
Yep.
No personal responsibility there, but what's the drug company going to do when they have to pay a $1 billion fine for these drugs like Purdue had to do, billions of dollars? What do you think the drug companies are going to do? They're going to raise the prices to make good. That's why our cigarettes cost so much. You know,
like I said, carry it over. What my firearms, my pistol, my rifles cost me. What my motorcycle cost me. My helmet that I wear on the motorcycle. Down to some of the my clothes, the jacket that I wear on the motorcycle. We can go through a litany of things. It's never fault. It's never your fault.
And the money isn't free. The companies, the drug companies, the insurance companies, all they do is raise rates, and we, the law-abiding, end up paying the bill.
Yep. I can't disagree with you at all. See? And we tried. Right. There was actually a bill. It's funny you talking about lawsuits. There was a bill, and I think it was one of the ones that I remember, AB 404. It was medical malpractice the trial attorneys wanted to raise it to, I forget, $2.5 or $2.25 million to allow them to sue for negligence on a medical malpractice. Astronomical. It would have driven doctors out of the state. It would have driven a lot of the medical services, hospitals, clinics, et cetera, out of the state, because their insurance would have gone up astronomically. We were able to negotiate that down to I think it was $400,000. It hadn't been raised in several years. And even from the quarter, it's at $250,000 now. We're raising it up. It's incremental over the next 5 years, as I recall. It'll go up a percentage every year. So people can, when I say people, the medical providers, their insurance companies, can look at rates and not do it one drastic if they have to do it in steps. So, but there is another example. Mm-hmm. And we've had that problem in Nevada before. If you go back, and I know you've been here long enough, you remember back in both the late 90s and also back in the 80s, we had OBGYN doctors leaving en masse because their insurance rates had gone up so astronomical. And people were having problems finding a physician to deliver babies and care for them afterwards. Yeah.
We are two sane people.
So,
PK,
let's get back to.
Well, can we? Can you stay another 15 minutes?
Yes.
Come on.
Thank you. I do a monthly blood donation, and I'm scheduled at high noon for that. So you've just got to get me out of here really close.
All right, we'll get you out before 11:45. How's that?
That's great, because I've got so much more stuff we can talk about.
Oh, I know. I took up most of your time there, so we're going to let you have the floor. We got a break for Fox News. We're back with PK O'Neill from the Nevada Legislature right here on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk. Time is 11:31.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, Radio, 99.1, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Welcome back, my friends. I'm John Potter, Assemblyman PK O'Neill, joining us for just one quick segment. We're going to go to the phones at 775-884-9910. Let's pick up Bob in Sparks calling about crime. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, John. First of all, I want to congratulate you for having PK on, and I wish I could vote for him. Okay? Now, I am really fed up with every day, practically. You see these pictures of these guys that have arrested, and they've got a rap sheet as long as my arm, and it's pretty arm, and they got warrants out there, et cetera. Believe me, if I were in charge, I would double the police force, number one. And number two, if we needed to, I'd build another prison. It's real now. It's pretty nuts. Excuse me. It's a statistic that a large majority of the crimes are committed by a small number of people. Those people ought to be in jail. Okay? And I'll tell you, I look at it this way. As a Christian, we're taught to turn the other cheek. Well, I'll tell you what. I've got four cheeks, and I ran out of cheeks a long time ago.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Well, Bob is right. The criminals are getting lighter sentences. 2019, the Nevada legislature passed, and Governor Sisolak signed AB 236, reducing the penalty for possessing up to 100 grams of fentanyl. That's a dealer quantity there, folks. And just 1 gram can kill, what, hundreds of people. Yep. And it also raised the felony threshold for retail theft from $650 to $1,200. It's higher than even that in California. And that means somebody can shoplift at a Best Buy, walk out with well over $1,000 in merchandise, and not be charged with a felony. And now we have some crooks walking out with merchandise without being stopped at Reno stores because they know this. The word is out. There were shoplifting lobbyists, I guess, in the Nevada legislature. Our legislators and Sisolak were not done yet because in 2021, He signed two pieces of legislation into law that stopped the practice of issuing arrest bench warrants for traffic violators who don't pay their fines or respond to warrants. So our Nevada legislature has ignored pleas to put into place the laws, or better, enforce the current laws to hold the criminals responsible for their actions.
No, I got a comment. You know, and Bob, I appreciate the thought on the vote, too. You can always move down to AD 40, just over the Sparks line there in Hidden Valley. But this session, and there is a good example of the Democrats had the full run. They had both houses and the governor, so they could have passed anything they wanted to, and they did pass anything they wanted to for the last couple sessions, 2019, 2021. And now that's why I get back to having that governor, Republican governors, our backstop we were able to prevent. And we went down and corrected, I'd like to say corrected, at least reduced and changed some of those laws that were so ridiculous. And I may be the cheering section for the governor, but, you know, you look at, he looked at early parole violators. No early parole for crimes of violence. Enhancements for guns, if you use them with guns in gun cases. Or on arrests, if you're dealing drugs or have possession and have a gun on you, it's another charge that increases the time you're going to serve and requires it. Also, if you're dealing out of a house or out of a business, multiple firearms with you or on you, each one of that firearms is a separate violation. So we reduced that fentanyl amount. We wanted to reduce it way down, but there was an argument made that we couldn't, we had no way in Nevada to differentiate the how much fentanyl is within that drug that's being sold. The governor was able to, so it was reduced down to 28 grams now for that sales assumption. Okay. But the governor also got money to buy two machines that can actually differentiate or define how much fentanyl, what's the percentage of fentanyl in that drug that's being sold. So I'm going to say next session, look at us even reducing that more, because you're right, a very small amount of fentanyl can kill multiple hundreds of individuals, let alone when you're looking at 28 grams, maybe it's 50% pure, you could do the whole state almost. So the governor was able to address, and the governor vetoed, two of his vetoes of 75 vetoes were ridiculous firearms bills that would have been passed and signed.
I got to say, with the fentanyl, of all things to reduce penalties for, good going, Sisolak. We're going to take one quick call from Jeff. I know, PK, we're looking at the clock here. You got three more minutes with us.
Geez,
Jeff,
you're right.
Calling in Reno about those vetoes. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. I'll try to be real quick. You know, it came out 2-3 weeks ago that this governor has vetoed more bills than any governor in our history or something like that. And I couldn't help but wonder, well, you know, is that speak to the governor, or is it just because both houses are controlled by the Democrats and they thought they could get away with more, you know, ridiculous bills than ever before? And those were all bills that needed to be vetoed. Like in the past, they weren't so quite off the rails.
Okay. Jeff, thanks for the call. PK, go ahead.
Jeff, your answer is yes. The Democrats had been spoiled when they had a Democrat governor. They thought they could badger and beat us into submission and get some of their bills passed that were ridiculous. The governor stood up, as he likes to be called now, Joe Don Vito Lombardo. He vetoed them. And we're showing the Democrats, you've got to come back with real issues, real solutions to the issues addressing Nevada, not with this these wannabe thoughts coming out, solutions for problems that we don't even have. And that's what they have been trying to do. And so much of the Democrat agenda is being driven actually by Washington, D.C., the larger Democrat parties, not locals. So, yes, they thought they could get away with more. The governor showed them no can do. As long as I'm here, as he's here, he'll veto them, and that will continue. So I say next session, look for a totally different session, more a realistic session, and really addressing the issues important to the state of Nevada and its population.
P.K. O'Neill, Nevada Assemblyman, thank you for, and this is not the first time you've been on this show with me. You are not one of these lawmakers who hides and doesn't want to answer the tough questions. You're very, very open to answer any questions, and kudos to the Assembly Republican Caucus members for doing what they could. And I got to say, it had to be extremely frustrating for you and the other caucus members to see what was being done, since you are not in control, your party, in the legislature.
It truly was. As the minority floor leader, though, it was very frustrating. But I've got to compliment my group of 14, every one of them I had promised them at the beginning and worked with them, that they would get at least one, if not more than one, bill of theirs passed. That was important. And we did get some very important legislation passed for the state of Nevada, dealing with rural hospitals, the rural airports, crime issues, a variety of veterans issues. And maybe we can do that another day. I'll come back on with you, John, if you'll have me.
Yes, sir. You have to give blood now. You have a noon appointment.
And yes.
Thank you, PK, for stopping by our Carson City studio.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, John. You take care, and God bless you all.
All right, sir. Thank you. We're going to take a break. I'm John Potter. FM News Talk time is 11:45.
Younger, smarter, better. FM Talk, KKFT, FM 99.1 is FM Talk. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3. KKFT.
Hi, folks. I'm John Potter. You know, I managed to rack up 1,800 points on my McDonald's app this month. 1,800. 1,800 points. You know what I can get for 1,800 points? Two little squares of hash browns. Then back to zero. Folks, there was a time in this world where 1,800 points meant something. that's inflation, by the way. And I'm sorry, that's the second time I picked on McDonald's today. Folks, McDonald's people, you got to fix that app. You're driving me crazy. Why? Why does an app sign you out? We were driving through Hawthorne, 10 days ago? And I forgot my password, and I'm at a McDonald's, and there I am trying to figure out the password while the patient cashier is waiting for me to say something. And so, no, I didn't get to use the app. The app didn't even know that there's a Hawthorne McDonald's. It said no McDonald's in your area. What's wrong with you?
Oh, that franchise owner hasn't registered with the app company, probably.
Oh, it drove me crazy.
Short trip.
You know, that Hawthorne McDonald's it's probably the biggest business in Hawthorne, next to the Al Capitan. Extremely frustrating. But Starbucks doesn't sign me out on the app. The app's supposed to be convenient. Burger King doesn't sign me out. It's just McDonald's driving me crazy. I 1,800 points, Craig, and I get two little squares of hash browns for that.
Yeah, for 1,800 points, I think they would have originally, I think, done like a Big Mac meal or something like that. Food, fries, and
no,
a drink.
All that work for 1,800 points.
Okay, at 3 points a visit, yes.
All right. Folks asking, where are the fireworks? They're not this weekend. A lot of folks had two people asking me this week if they were going to be off, going off this weekend. No, they're all of them, and there are like five or six places. They're all on Tuesday. Let me just run through what they are. The big one is Star Spangled Sparks. That's at the Nugget Casino, and that fireworks at about 9:30 p.m. From Victorian Square there. The Nugget on Tuesday, the 4th, Independence Day. The Reno Aces, Tuesday, the 4th, after the game, which should be about 9:30. Fireworks at GSR, That's going to be also on Independence Day night, and they expect to start theirs at about 9:15. Fourth of July parade and fireworks in Virginia City on Independence Day. The parade starts at noon, and then the fireworks, of course, are going to be at about the same time, 9:15, 9:30.
We have
lights
on
the lake
at
South Lake Tahoe Tuesday the 4th, 9:45 p.m., they say. The best viewing spots, because I've been there, South Lake Tahoe beaches. All right, Nevada Beach, Edgewood Tahoe, Lakeside Beach, get out there for that. And we even have fireworks. A lot of people don't know about the ones in Damani Ranch, Tuesday, 9:15 p.m.
I like those because they're right. I can get out on my patio and look across the freeway because that's where they're going off. Literally, I don't have to leave my apartment, fourth floor apartment, to see the fireworks. It's beautiful every year. Surprised us the first year they did it, though.
Yeah. I had a friend who had a house on the hill off McCarran up by UNR, and he could just turn his head and see like four different fireworks.
The Rancho San Rafael fireworks.
That's it, yes. Okay, I also got a call during those commercials telling me, the person I know personally told me that, by the way, John, the city of Reno's employee health plan covers all gender reassignment surgeries, covers as in their health plan, which will cost the city. I mean, that's how this works. The insurance company, whichever one they have, will raise the rates to cover the cost of these gender reassignment surgeries. So that's going to cost the city, and in turn, indirectly by extension, that will cost us, us taxpayers, even though the city came out and said it won't cost you taxpayers anything. I don't have time to get into the city of Reno. That could be a separate show by itself. I do appreciate PK coming on. I hope those in government who are supposed to serve the wishes of Nevadans wake up and do the right thing sooner rather than later. And here's a reminder that may surprise a lot of people out there. Government has no rights. Government officials have no rights. Under our American system, only the people have rights. Governments have powers. Office holders have powers. You have no right as governor, sir, or legislator. We have rights as people. The rights of the people in almost every instance are supposed to supersede the powers of the government. That's kind of the American way. And there are good things out there. A lot of good people among us who will hold true to the belief and push back. So God bless the patriots who know their history and their constitution. As for the Trans Care Act that the governor signed, I think there's a fair number of Nevadans who believe that this gender-affirming care, quote-unquote, especially for young people and teens, is morally wrong. And I would not be surprised if 10 or 20 years down the road, we have just armies of lawyers out there gathering up clients who got gender-affirmed in their youth, who are absolutely going to bankrupt any Nevada hospital or hospitals that host these surgeries. And we ought to step back for just half a moment from our progressive arrogance, our being the United States, and look at the rest of the world. And just note, the rest of the world thinks that we're being crazy about this stuff. They see mutilated kids, the mutation of children hormonally or surgically because of some preposterous issue of gender confusion. We love and support everybody. But the rest of the developed world looks at the notion of doing hormone therapy to suppress the natural process of biological development, or cutting off the testicles of boys and the preformed breasts of girls because of some political whim that's about going around the land right now. It's a crime against nature. Sorry, that's how I feel. And history will vilify us, and it's heartbreaking that there are surgeons out there who will do it. And I looked, and there's a yes in Nevada. Anyway,
something quick I'd like Craig? To promote if we could.
Sure, go ahead.
Today on our station KCMY AM. Starting, the pregame has already started for Giants baseball, but the game it starts, first pitch, will be at 1:10 p.m. So AM 1300 for KCMY and San Francisco Giants baseball. Also, you talked about the city of Reno for a second. I want to say that I love the fact, a lot of people don't know that I am, my primary mode of transportation is a wheelchair, but we have a new adaptive cycling center for hand bikes over at the old Rosewood Lakes Golf Course. And it's open 2 days a week. In fact, I'm going over there right after the show today, and I'm going to do the 11.5 mile course and tire myself out in the heat. So, yeah, they're open Tuesdays from 10 to 6, and I believe Saturdays is 9 to 6. So, yeah, it's right there at the old Rosewood Lakes Golf Course clubhouse, right across the parking lot where they used to keep all the golf carts.
Yeah, well, they put that place to use then.
Yes, they did, and it's beautiful. And if you don't want, if you're not into biking, there's a walking trails for people through the wetlands that we can't bike through, but they can, but people can walk through.
Wow, city government did something good.
Yeah, and in cooperation with Washoe County as well. Yes.
All right, my friend. Oh, and I promised. Thank you, Craig, and Carson, Craig Moss in Carson City for. Producing this show. There. See, now you're attached to it.
I am. at the hip.
Even though you don't want to be. I'm John Potter. Talk to you folks next Saturday.